This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is To Hell in a Handbasket. And now, please get ready and welcome your host, Miss Dolly Diamond.
A little yellow basket.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Dolly Diamond, and welcome to Hell in a Handbasket. Well, it's an exciting night for me because I've got a young man with me. They're never normally this young, and then certainly never normally this handsome. But this one definitely is. And, I'm excited to introduce to you now the very lovely Brendan McLean.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
You are handsome, aren't you?
Oh, darling.
No, welcome, welcome. Hell in a Handbasket. Now, I want to start off really with your family. I love learning about people when they were growing up, your formative years.
You're going in deep.
I want to go right deep, deep, deep down. Now, I don't know this area, but you balked when you mentioned it. You're from Sydney. You're from the Shire. Is that right?
Yeah, I am from the Sutherland Shire. Interesting that it is. It got its own reality TV show.
Yes.
A very special show.
Is it rough? Is that why you're...
Oh, it's a little rough. It's a little white. It's a little straight and narrow, if you get what
but
I mean.
But you're not. I mean, there must be other areas of it. There
no,
must
I feel,
be
but I feel like they... squeezed me out of it like a pimple.
Right.
You know, and now I've been squirted all the way to Melbourne, if you will.
Yeah, no, and but you've only just moved to Melbourne, haven't you? Been in Sydney all this time, but not obviously in that area, though, where you were living. Where were you living?
I moved into the city, a place called Newtown, very much like Brunswick.
Yes.
But I grew up there and, you know, I was a little ballerina growing up, so that was a little tough. But I'm very glad to be embraced by Melbourne. Well, I feel like I'm being embraced.
Well, you're new, and that's what we love. We always love new, of course.
I'm learning to take all the weather with me in my bag, the umbrella, and a sleeveless top every day.
Now, don't start with that, because Sydney's not that much better, is it?
No, it's windy.
It really isn't now, not with climate change. The whole world's gone a bit too lally, hasn't
it? Now, anyway.
At least now we're all the same.
We just make do.
We have to. Now, I want to talk about your family. You've got two sisters.
Yeah.
Now, are they older or younger?
Both. I have a very young sister.
So you're there right in the middle.
I am, smack in the middle.
Wow.
Yeah, rose between
them. Did the older one look after you?
I think she tried to. She was a goth. And so at high school, she was very good with a pair of steel cap boots if any of the locals came after me, which they tried to sometimes. So, yeah, I have my sister to thank, and I'm sure some people have scars on their shins to thank her for as well.
Well, I guess on that, were you bullied in that when you were growing up?
Yeah.
I mean, did you feel like you were bullied?
Well, I think that's why I discovered music. I remember, honestly, this sounds like a made-up PR story. And maybe it is, but maybe you can believe me that it's not. But I ran one day from the playground into a room that had a piano in it.
Wow.
And started poking around on the buttons and decided for about 9 months that I'd just go to that room every lunch. And that was when I started playing piano during year 11 at high school, because it was pretty rough.
That's late then, isn't it?
Quite late. Really late for a musician, actually. A lot of people are surprised that I started so late in life. But that was how I came to discover music, through sort of the toughness of high school.
Yes.
So I'm lucky. I mean, I know it's not the same for everyone, but for me it really did get better, as the slogan goes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess, did it get better or you dealt with it better?
Well, I think having an outlet helped.
Yes.
I think one of the most dangerous things for kids in a suburb is boredom and what they do with that bored energy, because I saw some kids went on drug benders and at drinking benders, and I was just lucky that I had a school that nurtured my musical talent, my dancing talent.
Right.
Yeah.
This was at Kirrawee High School.
Even if the students were a bit rough, I was very lucky to have some good teachers at that public school, and I'm really proud to have gone there.
And do you still have contact with them now?
Yeah, I've gone back and done a few talks and things like that, and offer them anything
that
I can.
That must be nice.
It is nice.
Because you could imagine the bullies probably haven't gone back there, have they?
No.
Unless they didn't actually graduate.
No, well, it's funny. I've actually had some of those people that you know, I would have called bullies at the time, messaged me for advice.
Right.
On, like, career and did radio
you,
and things like that.
Did you give it to
them? Yeah.
Did you, though? I mean, I don't know what I would do. I mean, I think we're all, I don't know if we'd really want to be responsible for how we were when we were younger.
Yeah.
But I think if you were nasty and you were a bully, then I'm really not going to give you much more advice than delete.
I think it's a very simple best of luck to you. Mm-hmm. Find your way.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe they did help me find my way, but it hurts.
Well, I think you helped you find your way, didn't you? You didn't, you know, they did what they did and you reacted to it by playing music.
I'm never sure about that old sentiment of, you know, like, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones and that building character in you, because it hurts. And to be honest, like, to be very serious, you know, it kills people, that bullying. So yeah, it's not always about building character. Some people just need to pull their head in, and if you are lucky enough to get somewhere, anywhere, then good for you, and you don't always have to help those people out.
Yeah, we don't need bullies to help us build character.
We won our own trophies.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, but we are lucky that there was that music room in Kirriwee.
Yeah.
And that you managed to get in there and do something productive with that. And exactly. I love that. Well, I mean, it really seems that you were very young when you started then with your music.
Yeah.
Because I've got you down here as winning. Ooh. The Australia National Youth Week People's Choice Award.
I remember being young.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's only 2007.
Oh, right.
It's not that long ago, is it?
Yeah.
And then I wrote it all down because I like to write it all out, because I think if you're going to win the award, the least I can do is write it out.
Bring it back later and brag about it.
And the Australia's National Youth Week Industry Award in 2008.
Woo.
Wow, now this is for writing Airport People, is that
right? Oh, yeah, that little song. I'd forgotten about that song. Yeah, it was, I remember getting on the piano and probably just copying some old jazz tune. I used to listen to a lot of jazz. And so I wrote this, you know, cruisy, croony little song, like, Airport People always say goodbye. And I thought it was, you know, really wise, and now I can't bear to play it.
But no, but I mean, I guess
about falling in love with a boy from Melbourne.
Oh, really?
It was the first time I'd been to Melbourne.
You'd done that, did
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Wow. And I remember the flight was delayed about, you know, 4 hours, and I remember humming this song into my mobile phone, and it was the first song I ever recorded. And, you know, those programs are incredibly important, because sometimes you do need someone to go, hey, you're all right at that.
Yes.
And then you go, maybe I'll keep trying.
Right. Well, they thought you were obviously a little bit more than all right, because you won it. Well, you've got the People's Choice Award and the Industry Award.
Yeah, it was pretty special.
Yes.
And, you know, so I hope, you know, no matter what government is in, that there's some money left for those programs. And I suppose that's also why I started building a career where I supported other people's music as well. And that's been really important to me as well.
Right, but you do now with the unsigned and unearthed artists, is it? Well, we'll get to that later, because that's almost now, isn't it? Present day. My very special guest, Brendan McLean.
Hi.
Well, I think people are going to think we're old school chums the way we're getting along, don't you?
I feel quite close to you.
I know, I like it. You know, it actually reminds me, a little while ago we had the very lovely Ella Hooper on.
Oh, fabulous.
And she was a little like you, with the young, starting off very young and creative and things like that. And at first I didn't want to like her because she was so talented. But she won me over. And you, I tell you, I have no trouble with you. None.
Okay.
And but I want to get on to your handbasket.
Great
one.
Business.
Yes. What would you like for me to consider to go to hell in a handbasket? What's number one?
Number one is a blessing and a curse. It is Tiger Airways.
Oh, yes.
A blessing, because it is so very cheap. And I can't help but use it in a pickle, in a tough spot. But you get there, and you wait an hour and you think, this is going to be all right. Sometimes planes are a little late. And then you wait a second hour, and then you wait a third hour, and you walk to the desk and say, what's going on? I'm beginning to starve. And I remember once my plane was delayed 10 hours, so cancelled twice. And they said, oh, sorry, sir, here to make it up for you. We've got a voucher for you. And on the voucher, it said $5 meal voucher. And I just felt that in my heart as a customer of the world.
It's awful, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but you know that I'm going to be there again. You know that I can't stay away from those $50 tickets.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So please just send it to hell.
Well,
so I can't use it anymore.
Well, you would not be alone, would you? There's a lot of people that are not overly keen on, you know, that airline.
Did you just do this?
I did. You know what? Because the thing
why
is,
why would you let tigers fly a plane anyway?
Well, it's not resort, isn't it?
It's odd.
I think it's from
terrible choice of animal.
They like their tigers over there, don't they?
At least get a Labrador.
I'm going to be like them here, but I don't really think it flies.
No.
Well, now the only issue I have, of course, well, a few, is that it some people would never be able to even fly anywhere without a Tiger Airways, would
true.
They?
This is true.
There is other issues. I mean, they seem to put you in a metal shed as their terminal.
The holding shed.
It's nasty, isn't it? And when you get your luggage, it seems to just come off to that round the carousel in the metal shed and just simply fall over the edge.
Yeah.
It's horrid.
Into an abyss.
It is an abyss. And and they're always late, but... You know, in the defense of the other, you know, really of Tiger and all those other airlines, sometimes you can get other airlines and they're not always on time, are they?
Exactly. And sometimes, you know what? I have had times where you walk in, you get an exit row seat, which feels like first class.
Yes.
It's on time, you land, and you think, I just paid $50 for that.
Yes.
I'll never fly anything again.
See what I mean?
You
it's
get addicted.
Tricky,
you get
it?
Addicted.
But
it's gambling.
Things like $5 vouchers.
Yeah.
What the hell? That doesn't even get you chewing gum.
It's gambling. That's what it is.
It is gambling. Now, listen, I'm loath to say no, but I feel I don't think I can put that in. Brendan, it's difficult because otherwise how will... Oh, screw it. Let's just bug it into hell in a handbasket. Yeah, no, it's going. It's going. It's going. Oh, well, I wasn't sure, Brendan. I wasn't because, you know, but anyway, it's gone. It's gone. And the tiger flies no more. Now, I want to talk about your album that you had out in March 2010.
A while ago now.
It was a little while ago, but it's called White Canvas.
Yes.
Now,
first release.
Is that why it was called White Canvas? Did you start off with, say, a blank canvas?
Yeah.
And you made it white?
Yeah, I think I did. I think I felt like... It you know, at the time, it was a very good example of who I was. You know, I just come out and I just started making music, and I felt that I didn't have a blank start, but you know, maybe there was something there, but I wanted to start it again. So White Canvas seemed more appropriate. We all have something, something there. And I was thinking about it, even when you know you find out in your heart and in your soul that. That you're gay or that you're straight or that you're whatever you are, I think it's hard not to dive into playing up to a stereotype, which is what I think I did. I'm
earlier than that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I had someone say, well, if you're gay, well, this is what you do and this is the type of music you're going to like. And, you know,
Which is nonsense, isn't it?
It is
you're
nonsense.
Writing music, not gay music.
Yeah.
You know?
Everyone's just a musician, and it was odd being introduced as a gay musician as your title.
Yeah, it's not
or
right.
being, you know, and you know what, I love me some Kylie, and I've been to every Lady Gaga concert and Beyonce concert just recently, and I love it, but I also love a rock concert, and I love a gig down at the Empress or the Northcote Social.
Yeah, and you know, your tastes are varied, but also those acts aren't introduced as, you know, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome heterosexual Beyoncé.
Exactly.
You know, I think we can take it as a given, but it's just not necessary, is it?
Yeah.
You know, and it's annoying. But then I guess, you know, if the people have been fighting for their gay rights for that long, that it's part of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
But when you come out with a very successful album, because it was a success, it's really irrelevant whether which side of the church you're on.
Exactly.
Isn't it? It's all about your music.
Totally. You know? And I think, you know, for anyone who finds their identity, they have to try and find themselves more than whatever sexuality they are. That's more important. That will make your music better than trying to write. You know, I've had managers tell me you need to write a song for gay bars. And I just think that type of music would come out shallow and empty because you should be writing whatever you are. You know, that's why I look at people like Rufus Wainwright or Anthony and the Johnsons who really find themselves first, then release that. And sure, maybe it'll get picked up by the gay community more than another community, whatever. But they do it well because they love it, and you can see it in their eyes.
Yes. And I guess what is your management probably wants, or record company, they'd want that big
hit. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Be that gay or not, or whatever it is, that big, you know, Kylie Minogue number or Beyonce number.
And I always believe if you find the hit before you find yourself first, you're going to have that hit and disappear.
Well, that's the one hit wonders of the world, isn't
it? Yeah, they find that great sound for the one moment, whereas I want to find whatever I am and whatever sound.
A life of music as well, you know.
A career of music.
Well, I mean, bearing in mind you were starting in 2007 and it's now, this is going live, so it's now 2013, happy Easter, and so that you're doing all right, you're on the right path,
I think,
aren't you? Well, you are, obviously you are. I like statistics like Rage, you know, the popular television show, of course you do, they had you well in their top 50. I think you were 38 or something.
Yeah, I think the first one was 38, and then I think the second one did a little bit better. I think I got like to 11 or something.
I think you did even better than that.
Oh,
you
I did?
In the top 10.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Oh, bad memory.
I've done my research.
Great position.
Well, I mean, either way, it's, you know, lovely to be, you know, for that sort of, you know,
institution.
And it's so well known, isn't it?
Yeah.
We were growing up, I remember that, you know.
And of course, you know, the first time it gets played at some weird hour, like, you know, 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. and everyone stays up and watches it and screams when it comes on. I still get excited when I hear my song on the radio or something like that.
Why
means the world.
We've got to wonder whether heterosexual Beyonce gets excited when she
hears
it. I wonder.
She must hear it so
often.
I
mean, it is a lot, but you'd still wonder, wouldn't you?
I'm going to call her heterosexual Beyonce from now on.
Oh, that's what she
when I'm requesting at the DJ deck, I'll be like, can I have some heterosexual Miley?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever's going on in her world, I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, she's definitely
don't want to cast aspersions.
No, she's licking hammers, isn't she? I think we'd have more music from you, and I've got it down here called Cold and Happy.
Oh yeah,
and,
from White Canvas.
I am right. Well, we're on the money here, aren't we? Now, I didn't ask you about Stupid. Let's ask you about Cold and Happy. What was your inspiration for that?
That was about my friends wanting to find a supermarket at 1 a.m. And, that very wonderful... It's a very suburban song about being a drunk and walking around at 1 a.m. and going, we really need some camembert cheese right now, and that desperate need. And I don't think I've ever told anyone that before, actually. Everyone thinks it's about love and finding, the phoenix inside of you to start again. But actually, it's about cheese.
Camembert cheese.
Yeah, that's just for you.
Well, I love a bit of camembert. Brendan McLean joins me here live. And, I think I want to... I've got something written down, and I just don't know if it's true.
Uh-oh.
But I am... Nikki Webster. Did you dance in one of Nikki Webster's videos?
Bless her and her starting my career. Yes, yes I did.
Oh, I loved
it. I think it was my first professional job, and it was a song called 24/7, Crazy About Your Smile. And I was picked out as a 13-year-old boy in my dance class to dance with the Nikki Webster.
Wow, because she wouldn't probably have been any older than you, would she?
No, about the same age at the time. I haven't appeared in Zoo yet, but, you know, I like to think that I'm still powering along with her.
Yes.
But it was bizarre. And I remember on the first day of... because I got the very lucky position of lifting her, doing a big lift with Nikki, and I excitedly swung out my arms, and I remember my groovy little beach bracelet smacked her in the mouth and exploded all over the dance floor.
They're a showgirl.
And I was very surprised that I was left on the team.
Oh,
that was my
first day
on
Nikki,
set.
I'm so sorry.
I'm really sorry.
Well, you'd have been embarrassed.
I was mortified.
Oh, yeah, you would have been.
Smacking the most famous person I knew.
Had she done the Olympics then? She'd done that then.
She had, and she was everything. Oh, she was my Kylie at the time.
Yes, she was everybody's, you know. Oh, I love that. Now, so when you, how old were you when you started dance?
I was a little boy. I remember I was doing karate because mum was worried I was getting bullied.
Well, you've got to balance it, don't you? Well, I mean, back then you did anyway.
Yeah.
Probably do now. I don't know. I mean,
I just think I needed some self-defense or some confidence, and something like that does. And in the same school, there was ballet. And I remember it was a bit of a Billy Elliot situation of, you know, doing the karate in one room and seeing flashes of sparkles in the other side of the office and just thinking, I want to go and try that. And something about the strengths of doing the karate for 3 years actually lent itself very nicely. And, and the whole journey kind of went from doing the martial arts to dance. And then when I was doing dance, I got introduced to musical theatre and loved the acting. And so I started acting in musical theatre and obviously started singing as well. And people were like, well, you're all right in the choir and the encore. Why don't you try singing a solo piece? And I think the first time I ever sung by myself was in The Wiz.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so they didn't even do The Wizard of Oz. It was The Wiz.
It was The Wiz. Oh. He's on down the road. Yeah.
And were you the Michael Jackson role?
I was The Wiz.
Oh.
Which is, it's a pretty glorious part in the musical. Is a big that normal? White flowing suit. It was very cool. Yeah.
I think I've seen it, but I don't really remember it, but it's similar.
Well, the Wiz in the film doesn't have too many songs, but The Wiz in the actual musical has some pretty big belting songs.
Ah, so you got the role you wanted, really.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I do have a kind of belty voice, like musical theatre voice for a pop singer. And so that was the first time someone went, I think you can sing.
And what about now? Would you do a musical role now? If it was the right one, I guess.
If it was the right one, you know what? Yeah. My dream.
Well, The Wiz. Imagine if they brought The Wiz back.
If they did that, my dream is to do Hedwig.
Oh, yes. That's what an amazing show.
One of my idols is Iota.
Right.
And I first met him when he was doing Hedwig and was completely blown away.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously a big admirer of Paul Capsis and the work he does. So amazing. I think if I ever do something like that, it'd be down that line of musical.
Yes.
But yeah, it was that was the first time I sung in The Wiz.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, let's get your second item to be considered for the handbasket.
Should we go the serious one or
I want whatever you want.
Okay.
Well, you prefaced it now. You should probably do the serious
one. Yeah, this one I hope doesn't get on too many people's nerves, but just because of this election and everything that's happened, and it's very political. But I just can't stand the people who told me they were going to vote for Tony Abbott and are homosexuals. Right-wing voting homosexuals, I think, need to go. I'm sorry, at this point, I thought maybe I could leave it. I thought maybe it wouldn't be that big a deal for me. But there's a big, I told you so in my head right now.
Now, why? Why is there an I told you so?
I remember the argument.
They've not long been in, have they?
No, but I remember the argument they gave me that, you know, that for Tony Abbott it was about economy and he'd straighten out business and improve business confidence, and that don't worry because same-sex marriage will get through anyway. Now, in the ACT, they're pushing very hard and hopefully we'll get it's through, and I think have, and if you're in the ACT, you can express your love through marriage.
Yeah.
But I just remember seeing the press release where my eyes rolled back so hard they almost fell out when Tony Abbott said, yes, I will be challenging this in the High Court. And I was like, there you go.
Yeah.
There is a difference.
And isn't it, I mean, I don't know exactly how much, but it costs an awful lot of money to do that challenge, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you would wonder that money could easily be spent in a hell of a lot of other areas.
Especially if people are saying it's because they're in because they're a responsible economical government.
And isn't it just really emphasises the fact that he really, really is against it, isn't it?
Yeah, which, you know, it must be tough for his sister, that's for sure.
Yes,
him saying he'll turn up to her wedding but not support it.
Mm.
That just made me really frustrated. And, you know, I don't, if they are going to hell, I don't want them to be hurt. I just want them to be in a room where they really have to think about themselves.
Well,
maybe a poorly lit room with mirrors.
Now,
fluorescent lighting.
Yeah, strip the strobes.
Yeah.
They're horrid, aren't they?
They make you look awful.
I think we've got those here, actually.
Deep lines.
They're not nice. But my issue is that if they go to hell. It is going to be hot. It's going to be nasty.
I don't want to melt.
The other one is that living with what they've done is almost like hell here on Earth, isn't it?
You make a good point.
It's only going to get worse, yes. I believe. And I think a lot of people have been quite respectful in that they've been in power a little while. And I think a little bit by little bit, it will unravel.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking forward to that at all because we've got years of unraveling.
Yeah.
Years of supposed business getting better. Now, I don't know.
Maybe getting
we
worse.
Won't know yet, you know. But this was hand as a record that I don't believe. I think it'll continue getting better, hopefully, because the world economy will hopefully get better. But I don't believe any of those other things like same-sex marriage is going to happen anytime
under this
soon.
Government. Yeah, yeah. And so I was really debating, you know, with what to do with this thought. And, you know, I thought once they were in, I was going, because I'm quite a outspoken political talker. I write for The Australian and The Age, and I write for a lot of blogs like Crikey and Mamma Mia and things like that. And, you know, some people say maybe I should be a bit quieter as a musician and just focus on that. And I was so angry when Abbott got in, and I was seeing some people in my community, in the gay community, saying that it doesn't make a difference, and I'm voting for Abbott because I want to see a change.
Well, I believe that it does make a difference,
and it
will make more of a difference as time goes on.
Mm.
And I think it's a serious issue, but it has to be talked
and
about.
And so now I don't believe I'll be being silent, and I don't think any musician or performer should ever be silent.
Then I'm going to make that decision based on that. Let's let them live on this earth and appreciate the mistake that I believe and you believe that they've made. So no, not to hell in a handbasket, but they can live here on God's green earth and deal with what they've done. Well, see, I think that's a good decision. I think that's a well done. My goodness, having you on, Brendan McLean, has been an absolute joy. And, I want to talk about some of the people that you've worked with, because you've worked with some of the best, haven't you?
I've been lucky, yeah.
Yes, well, you can only get that sort of work if you are very good. And I love Kate Miller-Heidke.
She is incredible.
Tell me she's lovely. Is she lovely?
She's so lovely.
I suppose you're not going to say she's a bitch.
She's a bitch.
She's an absolute mole.
No, she is wonderful.
She's lovely.
She's one of the first people to take me on tour.
Wow.
And now we've been on four tours
together.
And she is possibly one of the most talented females ever born in Australia. Her operatic training with her pop sensibility.
It is amazing, isn't it?
It's
amazing voice.
That voice, that sailing voice. Yeah, she's incredible. I love
working
with
her. And you, I mean, I suppose with anybody that I admire, when you're working with people like that, you feel inspired, don't you? And you feel like you, I mean, it's hard to take anything from an artist like that other than just enjoying, admiring them.
Yeah, well, you know, what she does is put on a great, consistent show, and she does so many shows, and that's what I learnt off her.
Right.
She's no matter where she's performing, it can be a regional town to 20 people, or like we did on a tour called the Heavenly Sounds Tour, where we played to about 1,200 people a night. She puts the same energy into everything,
it's
not just the
not
song,
easy,
the
it?
Banter,
right.
The little moments beforehand, the costume.
Yeah.
She makes sure the show is incredible for everyone, and that's just a little hint I took from her, and I do that with every artist I tour with, just try and take a little gem from their collection to take with
me. Because I'm Darren Hayes.
The wonderful Darren Hayes,
from Savage Garden.
Yeah, well, you know, he's I think where I get my pop love from, and I really fell in love with that when I performed for his crowds, you know, his huge stadium crowds.
Yes.
And at the time I was performing by myself, so I would walk out in front of thousands of people with me and my ukulele, and you know, fingers crossed that they'd listen.
You must have been terrified.
I was, and you know, because the lights go down, they start shouting, "Darren, Darren," and then I walked out and my little spark went, "Hello,
Brendan.
Strum."
Yeah.
And he just said, "Well, you perform like they're yours."
Yes.
And I did, and I've never been afraid of an audience since.
Wow.
Yeah, and I stay in touch with Darren. He's been a real mentor.
Isn't that lovely?
And we, you know, we talk online all the time. I'm doing one of his podcasts, and he supports a lot of young gay artists as well, and trying to support them through his network. You know, he has thousands and thousands of followers online.
Yes.
So he'll put up my videos every time they come out. So yeah, I owe a lot to him.
I love that. I love that you're respectful of these. You know, I guess if you admire, they had been bitches.
Oh, yeah.
Let me know.
I'm very respectful to all these bitches.
Who's been a bitch? Let me know. Let Dolly
well,
know.
Well, you know what? I'm sure he'd be fine me saying it. He's a complete diva. And I will say this story. We did go to a cafe that said no breakfast after midday.
Oh, yeah.
It was 3 p.m. And I remember him standing up and saying, "What's the difference between making an egg at 11 a.m. and an egg at 3 p.m.? And he sat there until he got his damn poached egg.
Wow.
And I was like, I wasn't ashamed at all. I was like, I want to be like that one.
Well, I mean, I guess I think I've done similar, and I don't have that back catalogue, you know. But, I mean, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. That you can do that even if you're not an artist.
I know. I take that confidence.
It does annoy me, though. What the hell is the difference? You've got eggs in the kitchen. Have you got eggs?
Spin it around in the water.
Now, I want to talk about briefly, well, I mean, I can't believe we should be brief with this, but you were in The Great Gatsby.
Yes.
Baz Luhrmann's Great Gatsby, the original. And you were Clip Springer.
Yes. Oh, we got the name out. Good.
Yes.
The Gatsby was an incredible...
What an amazing film.
It was magic.
Yes.
And I love Baz's work.
Oh, amazing.
You know, I fell in love with... I think Moulin Rouge was probably the first film I saw more than three times at the cinema. I remember going back after school many times in a row to watch it. I just love... showmanship.
Yes, exactly what he's the master of, isn't he?
And I miss that. I miss that in filmmaking.
Yes.
And I'm a showman on stage. I may be called an indie pop artist, whatever, but I like putting on a show. I love the Rufus Wainwrights, the Patrick Wolfs of the world. And I believe in a real Noel Coward standard of songwriting, you know. You write a brilliant song and then you perform it.
Deliver it. That's what we want.
Yes.
Heinous.
No shoegazing from me.
No. Right, we've got one more handbasket. What is it?
It's those bloody quotes over the top of horses running on the beach on Facebook. I cannot handle those uplifting quotes streaming through my timeline all day and all night. I don't care if the kitten is telling me to hang in there anymore. I just don't want the quotes. Stop the quotes.
That's now, are you on... Well, you're on Facebook a
I'm
lot.
On everything.
You're on Twitter. You're on everything. And it's very difficult to block them all out, isn't it?
Yeah, because everybody does. And the people that hate them, you know, sometimes slip up.
Yes.
And they will post an inspiring quote to me.
Yeah.
And tag me in it. And tag many people
I don't like that. Ones where you have to send it to X amount of people that you know or your legs will fall off?
The 25
off,
ones and see who's dying. A real friend. Yeah. You want to be a real friend. Don't post the quotes.
Yeah. Well, I find that it's a great way of deleting people that I'm not that, you know. Yeah.
You will be blocked. Yeah. Okay.
I will not do it and I will not send it and you are now deleted.
Yeah. I think I need a new song that just is called You Will Be Blocked.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe we can co-write it.
My friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about Bits Trips? Do you like those? Because I've noticed that fat people are already thin in them and people without hair have suddenly got hair. It's ridiculous.
I'm not commenting on that.
Oh, it really annoys me.
Yes.
Well, listen, I have not a doubt in my mind. I am not going to hang in there and I'm not going to send it to anybody. That is definitely going to hell in a handbasket. All right. Well, and now I couldn't agree more, to be honest. Now, you are going to be doing a night at Acme.
Yes.
It's all about Desert Island Discs.
Yeah.
Tell us a
welcome
bit about
to
that.
Melbourne. That's a fun thing to
Isn't
do.
Isn't it lovely?
My first week
I love
in Melbourne.
Acme.
Well, what they've asked me to do is put together five films that have inspired me and the way I write songs and who I am. And, you know, they're doing an incredible exhibition at the moment with video clips. So what I've sort of chosen is a range of films that are visually inspiring and just some that changed my life.
Right.
And I hinted towards tonight, and I'm happy to give one away.
No, don't.
I'm just going to give one
away.
Is a film that I brought up tonight, Billy Elliot.
Oh, yes.
And I do remember as a 14-year-old boy thinking it was a naughty film to watch because it was about dancing, a boy dancing. So I was really nervous to watch it. And so I remember having the blanket over my head and watching it on the TV.
You're making it slightly naughty.
I know, naughtier. And I remember the scene where the boy puts on the tutu for the first time and Billy holds his hand and he's okay with him kissing him on the cheeks and breaking into tears and seeing that and going, oh, I think I'm going to be all right. because somewhere in the world, someone else has been all right dancing, and then someone else has been all right being okay with their sexuality or wearing a tutu, as I did for many years when I started. I would wear tutus on stage.
Wow.
All the time. And yeah, I remember that was the first time I saw a film that I found myself in. So that's what the night's going to be about.
Oh, well, I see. Now, this is going to be a lovely night then, isn't it? Yeah. All on happening this Thursday, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes,
Thursday over at Acme. Night. Acme, you can check out Acme website for all those details.
Yes.
I think I did speak to someone there, and I don't think there was any tickets. But check,
because
there might be.
Yes, I think there might be a few left on the door if you
All right, it. Yes, you never know, do you? All right, well, I think, you know, we've almost reached the end. It just gives me. I would love you to mention, you were talking about your producer, was it?
Yes, I should mention that we are going to bring out a very special album at the end of this year. It's coming up. It's called Population, and it's with the wonderful Paul Mack, an absolute icon of our pop community.
Wow.
And for me, and we've written letters and read them publicly before at a wonderful event. I really call him my other half, and he's my mentor as a musician in the gay world and in the pop world. We've put together a collection of our songs from this year, and we're going to be releasing an album together, which I can't
wait.
Great. Yeah.
Well, you'll definitely have to be back on Joy with that album.
We're bringing it to you.
And, well, I think we should probably do a little Channel 31 special on that as well. We could easily, couldn't we?
Deal.
And because it's been lovely talking to you,
Thank you.
Brendan McLean. And hopefully people will get along and, we've got to support this new album. What's it called? Population.
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 Yeah.
All right. Thank you, my darling.
Thank you.
All right. The lovely Brendan McLean.
Thanks for being part of To Hell in a Handbasket. We hope you can join us again soon. To Hell in a Handbasket is not tested on animals unless they truly deserve it. This has been a Big Mouth Media production in conjunction with Joy 94.9 and Dolly Diamond.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.